the neighbors. The Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, and we're on again. Yes, indeed. Well, it's nice to be on because earlier it didn't affect Marion like it did the eastern part of the county. We were all off of, we had no electricity. And I was concerned, and it emphasizes something too. My batteries were all dead in my radios. And, you know, they always say, make sure you got your batteries up, you know, everything charged up in case of a storm or whatever. Well, I didn't, so I had nothing. And I've got scanners, and I got a little bit of everything. And nothing was charged up, so I didn't know what was going on. Oh, my. But there was a major a power line down on, I think I heard, Polane Road. And it took power out all over that eastern part of the county, clear over to Caledonia and Clarendon, all around. And, oh, boy, and it makes you worry, too, when you've got some expensive or, well, everything is expensive nowadays, food, that is, in your freezer. And how long will it stay there frozen like it should be? And so what you don't do is open your freezer door to see if everything's still frozen. You don't want to go near that door. And so that's how. And thank goodness power came back on before anything was challenged, you might say. So it was quite a morning. Boy, it was sure bad looking, though, when that hit the area. Woo! Wind and rain, but not so much in lightning or anything like that. It was wind. How about you? Did you have any problems out here? Whoever's listening, if you live out in the east area, any damage? I keep thinking of the library tree, and it's still standing. It's still leaning toward New Mexico. And will it be able to withstand? And maybe it, and since I haven't been familiar with that tree in years before, up until recently when we moved here to this location, but I wonder how long that tree has been leaning. Maybe it's been leaning for 50 years. I don't know. But it reminds me of when I worked at the Marion Cemetery, there was a tree there that was leaning badly. And I even measured occasionally to see if it was leaning any more than the day before. I guess I'm always concerned with leaning trees. And occasionally one goes down, but none of them that I've been watching. Thank goodness. 10:07. Well, it's 10:18 right now. I've got something new to give away today. Wow, looky here. Zumbezi Bay. Oh, they've been advertising that on television, especially with what's his name? Jungle Jim. I've got zoo tickets. And let me see. Well, I got a bunch of zoo tickets. All right. And I've got the open air safari over in the wilds. Well, if you want to see real jungle animals in a natural setting, a very safe setting, the open-air safari pass would be just what you need. Now, that's an area located east of Columbus on Interstate 70, and it's quite something. Okay, so we got a bunch of those, as well as zoo tickets. All right. So, at Zambezi Bay, boy, are they going to be popular. When it warms up, that is. Right now, I don't think anyone's probably in the water at Zambezi Bay. Maybe later today. Wasn't it supposed to be up in the 80s? Or, you know, all this week? We went down about 62 after that big wind this morning. All right, and let's see. Is anything happening around the area? Let me check the schedule here. Today is June 23rd. Okay, that Craft Beer and Wine Expo was yesterday at the Coliseum. I didn't hear any announcements about that. Did it actually? Oh, no, that's June 22nd. Okay. We're still in May. We're still before the Harding High School graduation and before the River Valley graduation. Harding is the 25th, River Valley the 26th. All right. Anything happening out the Tallgrass Trail? Let me see here. Today, this is Thursday. Okay. Thursday. Okay, next week. Next week is the, this is the 23rd. I keep thinking way ahead of time. Because of the June 1st thing at the Palace Theater. And then I will also be over at Iberia on the 27th. That's this coming Monday for the Memorial Day service. And, okay. And then I've got, now this is interesting. Our big program at the Palace Theater on June the 1st. We're actually going to have a run-through of that. So we all know what we're doing. And that's going to be coming up next week. Yeah. Oh, busy times. And then after that, we're going to have, my family and all of us are going to have vacation time. And in the meantime, and we're going to have to, this year, find a place to board our dogs. Wow. Now, this is the first time that we're kind of uncoordinated. We're all going different directions, kind of. And then all of a sudden, hey, that's our vacation time, too. This will be the first time we've had to board our dogs. All right. Now let me see what else is happening here. Today is Thursday. And I've got a few questions for you. I've got about 9 questions. All right. We'll start out here. Let's see, is there anything else I need to tell you about the weather? It's a little cooler than it was earlier. That wind and rain and thunder and lightning dropped the temperatures. But we might be in pretty good shape here for most of the day after this. Okay. Now, my first question today, and if you've won within the past 30 days, of course, you're ineligible to win today. So it's every 30 days you can win. I know a lot of people keep track of that on their calendars so they don't miss an opportunity. My first question today is this. Back years ago, before the advent of the computer as we know it today, newspapers published every day, 7 days, well, some of them 7 days a week. But they use something special in typing. And I often wonder how those people that use this particular ingredient got along later in life. So what ingredient was used in the formation of newspapers back a long time ago? Now here's something interesting. Maybe I've told you this before. I once worked part-time in a machine shop. I've done just about everything. But I would work 8 hours a day at the radio station and spend time 3 or 4 hours working in a machine shop. And that was really interesting. I worked on things that Whirlpool had purchased, conveyor belts or conveyor lines and so forth. But It was really interesting. Anyhow, we had a contract to work on the printing press at the Marion Star. So one day they had a breakdown and they called us to come and work on the press. And here I come carrying a tool kit and everything. And the people that worked at the Marion Star saw and knew who I was. What on earth is Evers doing here working on our press? Doesn't he work on the radio? But I did. And there I am drilling, or I can't remember what the problem was, but I helped fix it to get the presses rolling again at the Marion Star. And here was the guy they hear every day on the radio working on their printing press. But I've done all kinds of extra. Like I've told you before, I worked quite a long time at the Marion Cemetery. I worked part-time on a farm for the radio station. Let's see, I've done other things too, and it'd take too long to write it all down. Okay. So what did the newspapers use, and it was, I'm trying to give you a hint without telling you exactly what it was, but newspapers were noted for using this particular type of thing for letters that the newspaper was printed with. What was that material that they used to make letters for the newspaper? Yeah, individual letters, that is. I wish I could have seen that in operation. That must have been something. But that went on for years and years and years. And I just wonder if any of those people that worked around all that lead ever got lung cancer or anything else developed from working with lead 8 hours a day. Okay, now. maybe I just gave away the answer. It was lead. Hot lead. Did they have to... Maybe somebody could call it, if you ever worked in the printing room at the Marion Star or any other, you use hot lead. You had to melt the lead and form letters. How did that... I don't understand how... Oh, here we go. Okay, caller, explain that. Hello?
Yeah, was that lead on that question?
Yes, lead, yes, right. Okay. Now, would you like a prize today?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got Zambezi Bay, I've got the zoo, I've got the wilds, I've got Bill.
Zambezi Bay would be great.
Oh, okay. All right. And what is your name?
William Ballinger.
Okay, William Ballinger. All right. You're related to all the other Ballingers, I take it?
There's quite a few of us, yeah.
Yeah, now, Jerry Ballinger, were you related to him?
No, I wasn't. That's one I wasn't.
Okay, Jerry was once the mayor for a short period of time. Okay, you say you want Zambezi Bay, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got it ready for you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, Bill. All right. How about that? Let me put it down here, yeah. Zambezi. Okay. All right, and today is the what? The 23rd, 5/23/19. All right. Ah. Okay, Zambezi Bay, that sounds like fun. Especially when it warms up. Okay. Yeah, lead. Newspapers used hot lead. Did they melt all this lead and form lead? Or did they have a stock of letters that they had to manually put in paragraphs and everything? Oh, I wish I had been living back then. Well, I was, actually. But I never was around a printing press to see how it all took place. Wow. Okay. But they used hot lead. And like I say, lead is something that is frowned upon by being around. Okay. The time right now is 10:28. And it's been pretty dry here for the last few minutes at least, in contrast to what we had earlier. And I hope everybody's got their electric back on. Boy, what a sigh of relief when that electric comes back. Oh, here's a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Molten lead was favored by the Spanish Inquisition.
You mean out the end of the barrels?
No, molten. They would open somebody's throat and put a funnel there and pour the molten lead down.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Some sick people there.
I bet.
No, linotype. Linotype?
Yeah.
That's how they used to do it. It would melt that, and you would have keys that you would press that would represent the letters, and it would form it and put it all in a sheet. So then it could be put into, well, what they used to call the chase, and then put it all there, get it ready to be printed.
Wow. It sounds tedious.
Could be. Some of the machinery. If you... I'll bet that if you went on YouTube, linotype,
oh,
you'd probably see a video of how it operated.
Yeah, I'm going to do that because it's always been something that fascinated my imagination.
Mm-hmm.
All
Did
right.
you know Bernie Brooks?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, he was my printing teacher for two
okay.
years at Harding.
Yeah, and he managed for the Historical Society to get the old printing equipment from Harding High School.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got to run.
Well,
we got to break them.
Yep, bye.
Okay. All right. We'll be back in a few seconds here. Well, maybe a minute and a half or so. You're listening to WWGH in
Scott,
Marion,
you
Ohio.
Know we hear so much about Bernie Sanders being a socialist. But actually, one of the first big socialists to run for president came from right here in Marion, Ohio.
Oh, yes, Norman Thomas.
Yes, and did you know Norman Thomas also sold ice cream?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, he was the first ice cream socialist.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Well, that's interesting. An organization called the Yellow Light? Okay, now my next question has to do with early, let's see, what would you call it? Well, secretaries back years ago took down with shorthand messages from their boss. You know, they would write it in shorthand. And then they'd have to decipher that in producing a letter their boss wanted written. But at first, when he dictated it to them, it was in shorthand. However, shorthand was all right. And there's still shorthand used by, I think, some court reporters. But it was interesting... the secretaries advanced from shorthand to just being given something by their boss. Say, here, take this, and I want 3 copies of that letter written. What was it that the more modern secretary back, in the 30s and 40s, what did the boss use to give his secretary the information on? What was that called? Yes, it was a mechanical machine, but what was its name? I know that for a lot of you, that is beyond or before your time. However, I remember the Marion County Historical Society has several of those, well, I'm talking about right now, because it was given to me, and then I took them to the Historical Society as remnants of the past. Now, what was it? Oh, here's somebody that knows, I bet. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, Charlie, was it a dictograph?
Yeah, a dictaphone, yes. Yeah, okay. Now, you're eligible now to win a prize, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, what would you like today?
The Bay tickets and Zumbezi Bay.
Zumbezi Bay, okay. All right, very good. And, we'll see ya. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, there you have it. Okay, two Zambezi Bay winners today. Okay. Mm-hmm. Zambezi Bay. I'm writing that down as I speak. All right. Yeah, that's a popular place. Oh, boy. Zambezi Bay, when it gets back up in the 80s and 90s, even more popular. Okay. All right. Now, let me see. Cross that one off. Now, here's something else. Now, this dictaphone, I can't say it on the air, but there was a certain place a lot of secretaries told their boss what to do with that dictaphone. Okay. Oh, my. And if you, well, no, you have to be old enough to remember that. Okay. Now, let me see. Oh, yeah. What back when ladies were avid sewers, do we have many ladies? I know we have some today that can sit down at a sewing machine and make it run and make clothing and make other things with a electric sewing machine. And now some of those sewing machines, of course, have they're computerized. You can make them do all kinds of designs through a self-contained computer. But now, I think even with those, you have to have something to keep the thread in. And my question right now is where do you keep the thread in the sewing machine? What's it called? Your storage for thread in a sewing machine. Now, I used to broadcast from the Wyandotte County Fair, and usually behind me, in the next booth behind me, a lady sold sewing machines, and she had the computerized variety. I used to marvel at all the designs that she could print out on cloth automatically by programming this computer. Wow. And I remember most of all, back when I was a kid. Oh, what was that? Oh. Yeah, that's my computer talking behind me. Interesting. What was I? Oh, I was talking about the computerized sewing machines and how interesting it is and what all they can do without the human hands being involved. Instead, with a computerized deal. Okay. Now, where is the thread kept, though? There always has to be a container with thread in it in a sewing machine, or you'd get nothing sewn, right? Now, this what I'm looking for can be either an old term or a newer term. Where is the thread kept in a sewing machine? What's it kept in? 10:37 is the time. 740-383-9944. That's our number to call. And would like to hear from you today. Now, if you got anything else you want to pass along. But, oh, yes, I was telling you about when I was a kid, the treadle sewing machine, where you, with your feet, you went up and down on this treadle, and it cranked the big wheel around, and you had a leather belt. Oh, here we go. Okay, good morning. Go ahead.
Okay, I think the thread was kept in a bobbin.
Yes, a bobbin is correct. You're right. Boy, yeah. You're right on the ball. Okay.
Yep.
And what would you like today?
Oh, I can't win today, but okay. I thought I'd answer that one so you could go on to another one.
All right, very good. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Okay, bye. A bobbin, B-O-B-B-I-N. Yes. Now, they use bobbins in weaving, too, in rug weaving. And what was it that other thing was called that held the bobbin? Well, I don't know, but that was such a long time ago, nobody remembers. Now, in the area, I'd say in the area, there's a brand new high school and junior high being built. what school district am I talking about? A brand new high school and junior high. Where would that be? Now the former superintendent or principal of that school district was a good friend of mine from the Marion area. Okay, so where is this new school being built? What's the name of it? Now, it doesn't have a different name. It has the name of the old school. But it's brand new. Junior high and high school being built. And not that far away. Where would that be? Now, I got, for the most part, I think I've asked this next question before. But there are flowers growing along the highways now. Beautiful flowers. Purple and pink, and just beautiful. Now, there's a name to those flowers that, and I don't know how I discovered the name. I guess I had to look it up somehow. But they grow, and they just love to grow along roadsides in the berm. And I'm not talking about chicory. Chicory, chick, chala, chala, Beth. Beth, what was it? How did that song go? Chicory, chick, chala, chala. Oh, my. I forgot already. But that was a long time ago. That used to be something we'd stand around as kids and sing. The chicory. Oh, here's somebody. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Phlox?
No, it's not phlox. No. Okay. You'll find these flowers in groups. Beautiful. And they're all, if you just go outside the city limits, you'll begin to see them. But they have a strange name. And I had to search around to find their name, but I did. I found it. And then when you find the source of the name, it gives you a lot of history. Yeah, the name of those flowers growing along all the roadsides. Beautiful. Oh, you wish you could grow them in your yard. You know, that's an idea. I wonder if you could dig any of those flowers up and transplant them. And unless you can buy the seeds. I've never seen the seeds advertised. I need to talk to a gardener, a flower expert, on how would you get these roadside flowers to get a hold of them and plant them in your yard, unless you've got them already growing in front of your house along the road. But I'd like to have some. They're so beautiful, but they got this strange name. Yes, they're not chicory, and not phlox, but rather, it's a two-word name. One, the first letter of the first name is D, the letter D. So figure that one. No, not dogwood, not digitalis, but what's the name of those flowers growing along the roadsides? And once you know, you'll feel good that you know actually what those flowers are called. Otherwise, we'd have no, and I had no idea for 70 years probably until I finally got busy and looked them up. 10:42 and a half is the time, and hopefully it's going to warm up some. It dropped down to about 62 early this morning. I can't remember what it was before that rain and wind hit, but boy, that was a whopper, wasn't it? The sky got dark over Marion, and it approached Clarendon, and I thought, oh boy. And then at the height of everything, our lights went out. And I thought, well, I wonder where the tree is that brought the power lines down. Now, I don't know what brought them down, but there was a major problem there on Pole Lane Road. Those must be, the lines there must serve a lot of the area, naturally. And of course, one of my things I often mention, of the things that remain from Civil War times, are telephone and light poles. We've never changed. Well, we're handling higher voltage,
but the poll type is still there after 150 years or more. Yeah. So there's some things in life that never change. Now, in some of the cities, though, they've gone underground with utilities in some suburbs. But then when you get outside of the town, there's those tall poles again. Now, if you want to see an interesting installation, south of Sunbury, Ohio, you'll find, and I don't know which electric company it is, but they're handling some extremely high voltage. Because if you look at their equipment from the road, it's something like outer space. My. And there's another one similar over at Raymond, Ohio, that uses transformers with that these big insulated electrodes stick out of these transformers like they come out of a Star Wars movie. But the one that I've noticed more than any other would be the one down at Sunbury. Wow. On State Route, 37? Okay, and let me see. Yeah, I need to know the name of those roadside flowers. Yes, and I can see you right now thumbing through your flower books.
Have you heard my interviews with Phyllis Diller here on WWGH?
Have I heard it? I could recite it word for word.
Wow, Charlie, you must have a great memory.
Well, not really, but after 6,432 airings, it just becomes a part of your life. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, and you hear Phyllis Diller's interview and cackle on WWGH.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, we're back once again. I was just looking at the radar. And it shows no rain in this area. That's nice. Now, the areas getting rain right now would be Marengo, Fulton, maybe Mount Gilead, Caledonia, but Clarendon's in the clear. New Winchester, Martell, Iberia. Those areas, Galleon and Shawk, which is, what's the name of Shawk? Johnsville, Fredericktown, Mount Vernon, Cambier, all those getting showers. But we're in the, well, it's, I can't say we're in the clear. It's still cloudy, I believe. But we're rainless right now. Okay. Now, what else was I know. I was going to look up the name of those flowers to kind of give you a hint. And also, the dictaphone used just like Tom Edison and his rolls. Remember the very first recordings that Edison made were on those... Well, I think it was a wax-coated cylinder. The dictaphones also had a cylinder just like in the early Edison phonographs, the very early ones. And you'll say, somebody on a dictaphone can't... yeah, there was an old saying, but it was old, and apparently you wouldn't know what it was. Okay, going on here. I'm going to type in... without you looking here, the name of those flowers, and see if there's something I can tempt you with here. Let me see. Have you ever, here it is. I'm trying to see here. Oh, they're beautiful, really. The ones that are shown, oh, you can buy them. You can buy the seeds, yes. Vermont Wildflowers have them. Eden Brothers. In fact, I think I bought seeds last year from Eden Brothers in the Carolinas. Yeah. Hey, well, now that's something to look into. After I tell you, after I get the answer of what the name of those flowers are. Okay. Let me see what else is happening. Anything? Yeah. Okay. And James Holzhauer, just think now, with...
the what's his name, the announcer on Jeopardy, having stage 4, is it, pancreatic cancer, and having James Holzhauer as his his top money earner now for some time. That's really interesting, but that gives him something to go out in a blaze on, that is the MC. And you feel sorry for him. I guess he's undergoing a lot of pain while he's announcing on Jeopardy, too. But he's a real trooper. Could it be that he'll defeat it? Boy, wouldn't that be something? Wow. Okay. Now, what's the name of those flowers along the roadside? And you... Oh, I think next year I am going to order seeds for sure. And I just wonder if Burpee... I don't think Burpees have them, but let me see. Eden Brothers, American... Walmart? Yeah, but, oh, my goodness, $70.99. That's for enough to plant a huge field of them. Okay. And, yeah. Boy, I'm glad I looked this up. Yeah, you can. Apparently, these seeds are available in a lot of places. But you have to order them. You don't have to get them through the mail. All right. And now the big thing is, of course, once I get the answer, well, maybe you'd like to send away and get some, too. And here's their name, Hesperus matronalis. That's Latin. Hesperus matronalis. It's a herbaceous plant species in the mustard family. Yeah. Now the mustard family is everywhere. My goodness. Did you think that Mother Nature has this mustard coming up in all the fields to kind of indicate that, hey, you people, maybe you should harvest that yellow mustard. It might be good for something. Is that what you make regular mustard out of? I think it is, once it goes to seed. But there must be something we could be using that yellow mustard for. But how would you harvest it? And you just hope that it's going to, that you can get in, plow it under pretty quick. But it's everywhere. The other day when I traveled down clear to Urbana, it was like solid mustard fields all the way. All right. So, yeah, I see the severe thunderstorm warning in our area and all around here expires in another half hour or so. But going back to the roadside plant. Now, this flower has 4 petals on each flower. 4 petals on each flower, okay. And now, how to grow these flowers in your garden? And the name, they grow across the nation. Well, that's interesting to know. Do its culinary and medicinal applications counter its reputation as invasive? Well, okay. Caller, go ahead.
Yeah, I just have a quick question.
Yes.
I figured you'd be able to answer it, and I'll get out of here and let somebody call in and win something. But was there ever a Father Nature? Why is it we only hear of Mother Nature?
Well, because...
No Father Nature.
Well, you know, it's like right now, the women are taking over.
What are they taking over?
Yeah.
Well, they want it once they have it.
Well...
And then how long will they keep it?
Yeah. Well, this... The flowers I'm talking about, too, have a female name.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Maud.
Look that up.
Okay.
Okay, all right. Yeah, these flowers, these roadside flowers, are related, the name of them, related to a female. Does that give you another hint? So, you know? Okay, here. Oh, this might be it. Yes, caller, go ahead. Are you there? Caller, go ahead.
Yes, are you referring to the phlox along the roadway?
No, it's not phlox. Someone else said phlox, but that's not the answer.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how. Well, I tell you how you could find out. Type in on a search roadside flowers. Roadside flowers. That's about as big a hint as I can give you, and that might give you the name of those flowers, and you should know. They are so beautiful. They grow alongside the bike path, alongside all the roads, and they're an invasive plant. It'd be interesting to know where they originated, but they spread. I like them to spread to our place. They're so beautiful. And apparently they have a medicinal quality. I'm going to have to study that too. Because, you know, if they're medicinal, maybe we'd have to stop and along the roadside and pick a few and eat them and see what happens. Oh, my. You'll be surprised at what their name is. Because it's nothing you would think. Well, anyhow, that's a real challenge for you, to name the roadside flowers. And the first name of these flowers has to do with females. Okay. Oh, my. Let's see. What else do I have here? Oh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
I pulled up a guide to roadside flowers.
Yes, yes.
Is it daisies? Daisy fleetbane?
No, it's not daisies, no.
Son of a gun.
That's got a female inclination, you might say, but that's not the one.
Oh.
Keep looking.
Can I give another one? I was going to say, is it Queen Anne's lace?
No, not Queen Anne's, no.
No.
That's
wow.
Another female, see? They're taking over.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Lilies.
Yep.
Not lilies, huh?
No, that's another lily. Yeah, that's associated with a lady.
There are no male-named flowers, are there?
Well, apparently not.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what a phlox is. A phlox is between everything, apparently.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to get out of here and let somebody win.
Yeah, you keep looking.
Okay.
There's a good challenge to name the roadside flowers. Now, it won't be long. The Hemerocallis will be blooming. The Hemerocallis is the daylily. Okay, caller, go ahead. Are you there? Okay, caller, hello.
Yes, is it Violet?
No, it's not Violet. That's another female name, though. Okay. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Wow, lilies, violets. Wow. So is there a flower with a male name? No, because flowers are associated more with femininity, with more delicacy than a, you know, man. What flower would have a man's name? Interesting, eh? Well, we're going to be breaking here in 2.5 minutes. And that will give you some more time to, keep looking. Caller, go ahead.
Delphinium?
No, not delphinium. But that, again, is not a man's name. Can you imagine walking up to a guy and saying, "Hello, delphinium"? Then you'd have to duck. Yeah, delphinium. Yeah, but it's interesting, these flowers that are growing along all the roadsides, you can buy the seeds for those, and I've got to do that. I've got to plant, oh my goodness. And obviously, they're perennials because they keep coming up every year. Is that perennial or biennial? Perennial, yeah, up every year. Now, my alliums have bloomed, and they're going to go to seed, and I've got dozens of alliums that bloom every year. In fact, they bloomed at the house that we bought in Clarendon. Well, they've bloomed every year that we've been there. Obviously, they were planted by a lady that lived there long before we moved to Clarendon. And the same way, I've got
if anybody wants to start on cactus, we've got cactus and cactus. In fact, when I go to pick any flowers, I got to be careful where I reach, or I get those cactus spines or needles in my fingers. Oh, boy, you don't want to get that. You have to take a magnifying glass and a tweezers. Cactus. And they don't need much. You can just lay them on the ground, and they seem to absorb what they need and grow. I've got them all over the place. And they've been there for, who knows, long, maybe 100 years. Yeah, cactus. But what's the roadside flower? Now, you're going to have about 10 or 15 minutes to continue looking that name up. And then call me after I come back on after 11 o'clock if you find the name. So far today, though, we've awarded two Zumbezi Bay tickets. That's all I have for today, the Zumbezi Bay. I've got other zoo tickets and open-air safari to give away today, and Bill Huntsman's auto change of regular oil, of course. We're coming up on 11 o'clock already. How about that? And the sun is beginning to shine. Now, you can't beat that, can you? And it's probably warming up out there.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary First Lady of Broadcasting in Marion, Madge.